Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, you are good and kind and gracious. You have extended to us and new life. You have birthed in us faith, bringing up to us salvation and joy. God, open our eyes this morning to see your Son, to treasure who you are, and to change us that we might know and love and be used by you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I wanted to show that video because it captures the idea that what I believe Paul is telling us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 today. And I will allude to it some more throughout the message this morning. But one of the key concepts is this: we are His, and we are for His purpose. And I love the song that the ladies sang, because it says we will work hand in hand, side by side, and doing what the Lord has us to do. I love the songs that you picked this morning, Belinda. They're great. Working, doing the work of God. My wife was out of town. She was training for a speaking engagement that she has, and I was home. And among doing many other things, I got some wood and I built something. Now, I am not a carpenter, as most of you probably know, but I do have a drill and a saw, so I can do a few things around the house and a tape measure. So I can do a few things, and in the backyard, I took some 2x10s, 10 inches tall and 10 feet long, and I built some boxes, and I have a shovel, and I'm gonna put some dirt in some boxes, and we're going to grow a garden this year. How about that? We must be getting old, right? All the old people said, yeah, amen, right? We know that the goal is to take it now. Now, I can give you, we've lived in the house for 12 years, 13 years, something like that. And I can tell you, every year I walk out in the backyard and there's grass there. There's grass. This year, when I walk out, I'm hoping that there's something different there, and it's not grass. It's going to be something that my wife can eat. Some of you got that.
Yeah.
Something that my wife can eat is growing there. Now, for 12 years, I have not prevented that stuff from growing, right? I haven't prevented what are those red things you eat called? Tomatoes, right? Silly people, we eat stuff that grows out of the ground. What are y'all thinking? Tomatoes. I have not prevented cucumbers or green beans from growing. I just haven't encouraged them to grow nor started growth. I haven't sprayed tomato spray to keep them from growing in my grass. I haven't done that. But they've never grown. But I've never encouraged and specifically tried to grow them. Now I want to tell you something else, and I think this all fits into what Paul is telling us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I can put the seeds in the ground, or the miniature plants, whatever you call those, the baby started plants in the ground. I can do that. But I cannot make those things grow. I cannot. Nothing about me, no matter how I wiggle my fingers or dance around in circles, can make that grow. It's not about what I'm doing, but I can sure prevent them from growing by doing a lot of things to stop them from growing. I want you to keep that concept in mind as we look at Paul's message to the church of Corinth. If you have your Bible, I want to invite you today. Please open up with us to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Word of God speaks. Message is loud and clear to us, and I want us to humble ourselves this morning as we get into it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, John read it earlier this morning for us. What then, and we did much of this last week, but we're going to finish what we started last week. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? And I'll remind you, that they were the first two pastors, more than likely, of this church, and he is demeaning their value. And he's saying, what are we? What is Paulo? What is Paul? We as pastors in the church have been nothing. And I want to affirm that Brother Chaz and I both believe that we ain't nothing. Ain't nothing. What are we? We're just servants through whom you believed. And this is review from last week. Faith comes and is the goal of ministry. So Brother Chaz and I are here serving together amongst many others. And I included everybody last week as ministers. We are here as servants to bring about faith in people. The goal of ministry is faith. And we see it here. We saw it in chapter 15, which I took you to last week. Servants through whom you believe. The purpose of ministry, of Awana ministry, of Sunday school ministry, of music ministry, of preaching ministry, of Bible study ministry, of cooking ministry and hospitality ministry, and all the ministries that we do here in the church, the purpose of these ministries is to bring about faith for those to love and believe God. Yeah. Amen. That is why everything is done in this church, to bring faith for people to love God. Believers already and people who don't know yet Jesus. And then we said this, as the Lord assigned to each. So I'm setting again the stage to finish what we began last week. The goal of ministry is faith that the Lord will bring, or the Lord has assigned to people. And the Lord will bring that. Again, I stand in front of the grass in my house and I say, look, I'm going to put some dirt and some wood up and some dirt in there and some little trees in there, and I cannot make you grow. But I can do everything I can to encourage growth to happen. That is ministry. I can do everything I can. I'm putting the dirt there. I'm making sure there's enough water if it doesn't fall from the sky for free. I'm making sure that the weeds are coming. I'm making sure that the football doesn't get thrown into you. I'm doing whatever I can to encourage growth. But I cannot make that plant grow no matter what I do. Can't make it grow. I am passive while I'm active. In certain areas of this growth, I am absolutely passive, but in certain areas, I am actively doing whatever I can. Okay? As the Lord assigned each. Verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but what? You know it. But God gave the growth. The Lord does His work. I am a servant. You are a servant by whom He uses to bring about growth in ministry. That's who we are. And when we get all wrapped up in what, how great we are, how well He's gifted us, and all those things, that's when trouble comes. We know that. That was last week. I planted, Paul, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Verse 7. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. Y'all ain't nothing. Micah, we appreciate you doing this screen this morning, but you ain't nothing. And he gives me a thumbs up. He knows it. But only God who gives the growth. Micah is up there encouraging you to read the scripture. He's putting it right up there for you. But he can't make you read that. He can't make the word saturate in your soul and transform you into loving God and saying, oh God, you're right. It's all about you. He can't make that happen. He puts it right in front of your face. Can't make it happen. We ain't nothing. Verse 8. Let's pick it up here. He who plants and he who waters are what, church?
One.
Say it better than that. He who plants and he who waters are
one.
This is important. He who plants and he who waters are one. And each will receive his wages according to his labor. I probably don't even really need to preach much of this verse because it's really clear, isn't it? I mean, it's pretty crystal clear. He who plants and he who waters are one. Y'all could preach this sermon for me, but I'll go ahead since y'all don't have the microphone. There are two truths here in this verse that are very simple. And one is this, and the truth is this. Ministers, and he's alluding to Paul and Apollos, we're one. Me and Apollos, fellow ministers, we're one. What does that mean? He's writing to the church. What does this mean universally? Well, it's pretty clear. Ministers who are ministering in the gospel ministry work unite together and have one purpose and one goal. So Micah is up there as an individual. I am right here as an individual. But we are one in the sense that he is showing you what God's word says, and I'm telling you what God's word says. The end goal is that you hear what God's word says and let it do the work in your soul. So Micah's up there watering whenever he needs to, and I'm up here planting, doing what I need to. Micah's going to water a little bit, but God gives the growth in your soul as you listen. Now, that's one illustration. Let me expand this because I don't want you to think that I'm the waterer, it's just me and Micah's game. It's not me and Micah's game. This is the game that our church is involved in. We are planters and waterers and gardeners in this big project. And this is where Paul's going. And each will receive his wages according to his labor. You see that? Paul is not limiting ministry to Paul and Apollos. He's alluding to the fact that this is an each thing. Church ministry is not a solo job. And I can tell you that, and you, church, have been incredible as a church to me in joining in ministry. And I'll tell you, when I came to this church 10, 11 years ago, whenever it was, I joined in ministry with you. And I think many of you know that. I didn't start ministry here. Nope. It was going on here. And there, many of you have continued in the same ministry since I've been here at this church. It's a beautiful thing for me to see. Beautiful. Sunday school teachers, y'all have taught the same group of people for years. And for some reason, they keep coming back. We have joined together in ministry, and I have become part of the fold of ministry here at this church. It is a beautiful thing. For those of you who are new, or those of you who are not involved, this is a call for each of us to be involved in the oneness of ministry that's happening here. We do ministry so that those might believe. If you're not involved, this is the Word of God speaking to us. Get involved in ministry. And that might mean you saying, you know, we're missing something as a church. Can we start this? Start it. It might be that we're, instead of finding fault in something that's going on, we come in and say, you know what, this is something that's deficient. I'm going to help make this better. I'm going to help this children's project run better, or this senior adult project run better, or this project run better, building project run better. I can help with this. I'll do it. If you're not involved, this is my plea to you. Hear God's word of joining in ministry work so that faith might be encouraged. If you are involved, let me say this to those of you who are involved, and is this, allow others to become involved. Because sometimes it's easy to guard our thing so that no one else can be a part of it. And sometimes we need to allow others to get involved so that we can help teach, instruct, and bring them as a part of long-term ministry. Because it's not our ministry. We're just servants doing God's work. So we need to remember that. If we are involved, allow others. Extend invitations specifically to others to get involved. You may get an invitation from me to be involved in something, and you can tell me no. That's fine. But But I want to invite you to be a part, because I care about you and I feel like you have value in doing something. I may ask you. I may not ask you because I don't know what your gift might be. You come and say, I've got this gift and this passion. I want to do it. Good. Do it. Please do it. Ministry. Secondly, this is a truth that sometimes I think most of us don't believe this. And a lot of us believe a lot of things about the Bible. We believe that certain things are bad for us. We believe that if we do this, this will happen. We believe a lot of truths in the Bible, but I don't know how many of us truly think about this regularly. Look at the second half of that verse. And each will receive his wages according to his labor. Now, does that mean that the church is going to start handing out checks to everybody? I got to know. Somebody's like, maybe not. And each will receive his wages according to his labor. What does this mean? I'll ask you, do you believe this? Do you believe that the Lord rewards those who labor in his kingdom? Yes. Do you believe that? Do you believe that when you get on your knees and are praying for someone, that the Lord hears those prayers? Yes. And he responds to the prayers of his people? Do you believe that when you prepare a Sunday school lesson or a Thursday night family parenting lesson, do you believe that the Lord sees you with your nose in that book and your pencil to the paper writing because you care about people who are going to show up to hear your message? Do you believe that the Lord sees that? I believe if more people believed that, truly believed it, there would be more work going on. And that's not a complaint, that's an encouragement. I think probably some of us don't even know that this is in the Bible. Wait a second. You mean if I do sacrifice my time and effort and energy and resources that it's pleasing to God? Yes, it's pleasing to God when we sacrifice. Look, let's go. Yeah, a little piece of paper in your bulletin. Church work day, Saturday, April 8th, 8 a.m. till noon. Got things to do around the church. Get the church in order. Does the Lord see those who come to his house that serves his people for his kingdom? Does the Lord see the work that's done on a Saturday in April? Oh, you bet he does. You bet he does. The Bible tells us, each will receive his wages according to his labor. Look in Colossians 3:23. Love this verse. Love this verse. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. Work, receive, reward. All three of those words right there. Matthew 10:42. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water, y'all know the rest, because he's truly my disciple, truly I say to you, by no means will he lose his reward. Serving, rewarding. You can look down, and if you have your Bible, and Micah, you can help us. I didn't put in the notes, but in verse 14, you can look at that one. Look in verse 14 real quick. You've got it. He says, if the work that anyone has built on his foundation survives, he will receive, y'all help me out, a reward. And that's verse 14. It's seven verses down. Three, I don't know how many. If the work that anyone does survives the test of motive, he will receive reward. I say not that not to pad the pockets of the greedy. I don't want you to say, oh, well, God's going to give me something. I'm going to do something for him. If the work survives the testing, and we'll get to that, then you'll receive reward. Motive matters. It does. Motive matters. What I say this is to say, I wouldn't build stuff, and I wouldn't shovel dirt into a box, and I wouldn't go buy plants or seeds and throw them in the dirt if I didn't believe my wife wasn't going to be able to eat a tomato when she wanted a tomato. I would be foolish to do all that and just say, all right, now I've got a big pile of dirt. Woo! Right? I plant and I tend the garden because I believe there will be fruit. I come to church. I talk to people on the phone. I send emails. I study and study and study and study and pray and pray and pray. I do the things that I do as a minister because I believe it's good. And I believe in the end it pleases God and there will be fruit from the work that I do. I don't just want to pile up a bunch of dirt and say, yes, got a pile of dirt now. It's not why I do ministry. There's a reason. Look at verse 9. For we, and he's talking about Paul, Apollos, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. God's building. He's going to give us two illustrations. One is an agriculture. One is more of a building, mechanical type illustration that he's going to give as far as what we're doing in ministry. We're tending a garden. We're building a house. There are two different ways he's going to look at it. You are God's field, God's building. Verse 10, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation. According to the, what? Oh, I didn't hear that. According to the grace of God given to me. God has given grace to minister Paul. And he says, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation. Is he saying I'm awesome? No, he's saying I wanted to be like someone who was skilled and good at what they do. Like a skilled and master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. I laid the foundation. Here it is. And we know what that foundation is. And someone else, I've left. Now Apollos came. He's building on the foundation. Now Apollos is gone. Now the building is being built. The ministry is being done. Let each one, he says, take care how he builds upon it. Again, let me underscore. Take out your pen or your pencil and underscore this. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. Lest we think that the pastor's job is to do ministry. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. Paul in no way would have his church understand that, oh, I'm the minister. You're just the people. That's foreign to the mind of Paul as he writes this. Let each one take care how he builds. We are building together in the ministry. I cannot make vegetables grow. I can encourage them to grow, and I can do everything that I can. That is our job. And so there are no failures in ministry unless God is a failure. Got it, Jimmy? There are no failures in ministry unless God is a failure because he's the one that does the ministry. We're merely his servants building up the garden. Building on the foundation. Now look in verse 10. This is important. Let me just say it once. According to the grace of God given to me. Now remember, if you are able to do ministry, however you are able to do ministry, it is a gift and a grace of God. Some of you can sing like birds. Beautiful. Love to hear it. And we sing the praises of God. God is giving you that voice. I can't hit the notes Wayne can hit. He can hit them. Wherever he is. And he sings the praises of God with them. Because God has graced him with that note. And that voice. I can't cook like you, Richard. But you use that to feed God's people. The grace that God has given us. And it's not necessarily just a talent. It's talent and availability and instruction and life that God it gives us this grace so that we can use whatever we have to serve Him. I'm not just talking about the good things either, y'all. I believe God gives us grace in our difficulties, in our struggles, in our pain, in our ailments. God gives us the grace so that we can do ministry. And many of us take our pains and our ailments and we try to get everyone to feel sorry for us sometimes. May we take that pain and suffering and turn it and say, how can I use this to glorify God? God has given me the grace of pain. Lord, use it for your glory. It's a different way of thinking. We think of God gifting us with all good things. Sometimes He gifts us with the hard things. By the grace God has given to me, like a skilled master builder. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. I want to cross-reference this grace idea. Oh, man. This grace idea is in 15:2. Look what it says. But by the grace of God, you see it there? Same book, same author, same audience. Same idea. Watch. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. It wasn't passing. It wasn't meaningless. It wasn't for no reason. On the contrary, here we go. I worked. Grace comes. Not for no reason, but it brought me to work. Grace brought me to work in ministry. Here it is. I worked harder than any of them. You can go back and read the context. He's talking about all the other apostles. He's talking about here, I'm an untimely apostle. I worked harder than any of the other apostles. Kind of arrogant, Paul. Isn't it? Paul says, by the grace of God, I worked harder than any of them. Not arrogant. Paul's saying, God has given me the gift, and I've put it to use. I worked harder than any of them. It wasn't I. Though it was not I, but it was the grace of God that is in me. You see it? Grace breeds the work that God would have us to do. Grace empowers the work that the Lord would have us to do. And grace is not just a great singing voice. Grace is the fact that you have a voice at all. And that you can talk to somebody. When you walk into church and somebody sits down next to you, you can look over them and say, hey, it's good to see you here this morning. How's life? You doing okay? God is good. Let me tell you what He's done for me. So you have a voice to speak to someone. It's the same voice that when we leave this place, like you see in the video. Not about me. I'm going to go out and I'm going to my house and I'm going to talk to my daughter about my faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell my wife the reason why I'm surrendering my selfish desires. It's because Jesus has changed me and he's given me the grace. I'm going to go tell my cousin who's addicted to something that that Jesus is better than anything we can put in our body. I'm going to tell my boss, don't schedule me for Sunday, please. I'm a Christian. My faith is very important to me. And it's important for me to worship with my church family. If there's any way I can get off on Sundays, please, let me do that. This is grace working out. Let each one take care on how he builds upon it. Now let's talk about the it for a moment. You saw the video. You see it in the scripture. It's not about us. It's about the grace of God using us to do his work, his ministry. Losing ourselves and our selfish desires. Losing ourselves. We sang it in a song. I don't remember which one it was this morning. Blessed Assurance, I think it was at the end. It said, one of those verses. It talked about we lose ourselves and God. And this is the point. Jesus said whoever would save his life would lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You believe that? You believe what Jesus says? Do you believe that? Do we give up our life and say, God, it's for you? Here it is. Here's my free time, God. Take it. I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to work hard for you. Take the example of Paul. Lord, you've given me life. Given this life to me, all the occurrences that have happened. Here it is, Lord. Give it to you. I lost my life now. Here it is. I'm going to serve my family. I'm going to serve my coworkers. I'm going to serve my church. I'm going to serve. I lost it, Lord. You believe Jesus? Do you believe him? Or do we go home? Do we like, you hear in the culture, I lost myself. I've got to find myself. That's not Jesus' fault. You need to find Jesus and lose yourself. What about this foundation? And here's why. Here's why we can lose ourselves. Look at verse 11. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which I already laid for you. Like a master skilled builder, I laid it. And here's the foundation. What is it, church? Jesus Christ. Jesus even told us this. Y'all remember in Matthew 16? Y'all remember these words? Simon Peter told him this. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Remember? Who do they say that I am? Who do you say that I am, Peter? Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah. You're the reason. You're the Savior. You're the focal point of all of the Scripture. You're the Messiah. And Jesus said, you're blessed, Simon, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father showed you. See, Peter was one of those appointed of God. My Father showed you who's in heaven. And I tell you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now some take this to understand Peter, Petros. He renamed Peter there, and renamed him Petros, rock. And they say, see, the Lord's building the church upon a person or a role, little rock. You go back, you look at the Greek, you learn you some Greek, you go look at it, you see that rock that Jesus says, look, you're a little rock. On this big rock, I'm going to build the church. And hell is not going to prevail against it. Because this foundation is firm. And this foundation is me. I've got the broad shoulders. I can hold it. Bring it on. Jesus. He's the foundation. Not the little rock. Not a little rocky over here, but me. Big rock foundation. I am Jesus. This statement, you are the Christ, you are the Messiah. Jesus said, bring it. So here's the question for us, church. Will we bring it? Will we put our investment into the bull stock market? Will we put our investment into the hobby we love? Will we put our investment into the job that we so care about? Or will we place our investment on the foundation that the master skilled builder built, the foundation of Jesus Christ? And I ask you over and over, do you believe this? Because this comes down to faith. Do we believe that Jesus Christ is worth our effort? Next week, we'll look at the testing of our foundation. We will look at the testing of the work done and how the work is done and our motive on how the work is done. The question that most important for us this week is, do we believe? I've got one final thing to say this morning, and that is this. You may be part of us this morning. You may be hearing this message and have never understood who Jesus is. And let me tell you why Jesus, if I may, why he is the foundation and the rock. Jesus is the foundation that is firm because he is the Son of God. He is the one revealed of God. He is everything about God that can be revealed to us and shown to us. He is the image of God, the Bible says. And every word he spoke is true. And Jesus came and was sent by his Father to bear witness, to be the messenger, to reveal to us that we are in need of salvation. You say, well, salvation, saved from what? Well, what the Bible teaches us is this truth as well, that we are sinful before the Lord. And society is not going to tell you that. It's going to say, embrace who you are. Just be who you are. Embrace it. Love it. Tell everybody who you are. Represent who you are. What the Bible is going to tell us is, you're a sinful person. You're a sinful person and you need a Savior because you're broken and you have transgressed. You've broken God's law. The police officer, when he pulls you over, is not going to say, embrace yourself, you're a speeder. Oh, just be a speeder. Isn't it great? And we roll our eyes at stuff like that, but that's what our culture tells us. We are sinners. And we need salvation because we've broken God's law and God sent his Son Jesus to die on the cross to pay our speeding fine. Every person in this room who's driven a car, you're a speeder. I know it. Don't look at me and tell me you're not. You've sped before and you need to be forgiven for being a speeder. You've also said bad words, right? You've also been ugly to somebody. You've screamed at people. I know who you are. Don't embrace that. You're a screamer. Just scream at everybody. Come on, get real. We are sinful. We need Jesus. And Jesus paid our sin debt. Come on, church. Jesus paid our sin debt. If you don't know that, Jesus paid our sin debt. He was on the cross, died, buried in a tomb, was resurrected by the Father to give us new life. And where we are now is, will we, and Paul said in Acts 17, God has called all men everywhere to repent. Will we repent of that sinfulness? Not embrace it, but repent of it and say, Jesus, you're my Lord. I am a sinful man. I'm crying out for salvation. God, save me. The weight of damnation is upon me, and I feel it. Save me, God. So, if you're with us and you don't know Jesus, you have two choices. You can embrace your sin, or you can repent of it and come to know Jesus Christ and be reconciled unto God and know Him. He loves you. He loves you enough to send His Son to die for you. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for sending your Son. Transform us by your power. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.